Well, good morning to you. Welcome to the Scoreboard with Hugh Burrell on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's a good day. It's National Drink Wine Day. You know, if there was only some kind of way to celebrate.
The guy is drunk!
Yeah, that'd be one way. Also, a very happy 51st birthday to Alex Mogilny, who arguably may have been the most purely skilled player to ever play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mogilny played three seasons in Toronto. He was hurt, missed a lot of the games in his final season, but in his first 2 years, Mogilny notched 136 points in 139 games. That's not bad at all. Coming up on the show today, the schedule gets tougher for the aforementioned Leafs. The Panthers move ever closer.
He was the trailer, and Huberdeau found him. He rips it past Arundel.
The Lightning jolt their way to a franchise record.
Now they're seeing a goal. What was going on there with the officials? That puck was clearly in the net.
The Great Eight goes to Vegas. Kings and Canucks get a jump on the trade deadline.
This was going to be a go-for-it year for Vancouver anyway.
The Blue Jays begin full workouts.
I think everyone else in that locker room is excited to compete this year.
The Dodgers' Justin Turner unloads on Commissioner Rob Manfred.
At this point, the only thing devaluing that trophy is that it says Commissioner on it.
Fiery crash to end the Daytona 500.
Crash into the wall, into the air!
And how many times are they going to get hit? All this and so much more straight ahead in the February 18th edition of The Scoreboard with Hugh Burrell. So with sincere apologies to the Buffalo Sabres, the Ottawa Senators, and the Anaheim Ducks, the Leafs haven't exactly run the gauntlet in terms of a tough schedule lately. That changes starting tonight as Toronto is in Pittsburgh for the first of a home-and-home with the Penguins. Pittsburgh has been very, very good lately, winning 11 of its past 14 games.
11?
Yeah, that many. Sid the Kid is finding his groove. 6 goals, 13 assists in 12 games since returning from core muscle surgery. Leafs and Penguins tonight, 7 o'clock, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. After the back-to-back with the Pens, the Leafs play the Hurricanes, the Lightning, and the Panthers. Speaking of those Sunshine State kitty cats, they were in San Jose yesterday needing a win after dropping 6 of their past 7 games. They got it.
Loose here on the near wall. Barkov to Huberdeau in the neutral zone. Panthers scoot along. 3 minutes to go in this one. Huberdeau looking back. The trailer. Stroman shot. He scores! Anton Stroman! He was the trailer, and Huberdeau found him. He rips it past Arundel, and the Panthers are up by a pair once again.
Strawman's 5th of the season stands up as the winner as the Panthers take a bite out of the Sharks. 5-3 the final. The win moves Florida to within 2 points of the Leafs for 3rd in the Atlantic Division with a game in hand. Post-game, Sharks Brendan Dillon, whose name has been mentioned in trade rumors, got a little emotional when asked about it.
I don't know. You know, kind of see what happens, but, you know, for us, I like being here. Try to play hard every night. It's gone out of my control. Excuse me.
Well, the other Florida team was also in action last night. The Lightning, a mile high in Colorado in a battle of two of the very best teams in the league. But nobody has been hotter than the Lightning lately. The Bolts had won 10 straight coming in. The Avs, well, they dropped a couple. And things got worse in the second period.
Rantanen and Burakovsky holding. Rantanen, he's tripped up into the boards. Penalty coming to Tampa, and Rantanen is down. He bounces up. We'll check on Rantanen, but there's a power play for the Avalanche. He will be looked at. We will keep you updated on his status.
Now, Mikko Rantanen going right to the locker room after being tripped into the boards. This looks like it's going to be a multi-week injury. Speculation that it might be a broken collarbone. This game went to overtime, tied 3-3.
Short feed, McKinnon. Left circle, he's checked by Kucherov. Kucherov a steal! Kucherov maybe a breakaway. McKinnon trying to catch him. Kucherov it alone! Score! Kucherov! Francis is looking behind him.
They're saying what? No goal? No, now they're saying a goal. What was going on there with the officials? That puck was clearly in the net.
Not sure there, but it kind of sounded like Lightning broadcaster Dave Mishkin may have knocked over his microphone in all of his excitement. Hey, he's an excitable guy. 4-3 Lightning, the final. They win a franchise record 11th straight game, and they remain just a single point back of the Boston Bruins for first in the Atlantic. Calgary was at home to Anaheim. You know, I could say something about the Flames roasting the Ducks, but I won't.
Here's Hanifin with a shot stopped by Miller, and they score! Andrew Mangiapane picks up the rebound and buries it. Closer to it, gave it away to Mangiapane, right in front to the back end. Scores! A beauty by Mangiapane, and the Flames back within one. Gaudreau to Mangiapane, he's in alone, and he scores! And here come the Hats!
Andrew Mangiapane, his first career hat trick, also added an assist in the Flames' 6-4 victory. City of Las Vegas has changed its slogan. It used to be, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Now it's, what happens in Vegas only happens in Vegas. Not sure I like it. This has nothing to do with the Golden Knights versus the Capitals game. I just wanted to voice my opinion. As for the game itself, since scoring three goals against the LA Kings on February 4th to get to 698 in his career, Alex Ovechkin had gone four straight games without a goal, something that Vegas forward Ryan Reeves was well aware of.
What's up, my man? You good, brother?
Yeah, you?
Oh, yeah.
Not
going to
get it tonight, but I'll say congrats on something.
Yeah, thanks, brother. I'll get you tonight.
No, no.
One for you.
No.
One for you.
Vegas jumps out to a quick lead in the first period.
Marchessault with a wrist shot blocked off the back glass by Orlov. Feeds it out in front to Smith, and it scores! Riley Smith goals in back-to-back games! It's 2-0 Golden Knights.
Yeah, 2-0 VGK. In the third period, Ovechkin knocked Nate Schmidt into his own bench.
Oh, another huge hit.
Schmidt's in the box.
That's a line change that he didn't want.
And Ovechkin decking Schmidt right into the Vegas bench. Wow.
What's up, brother?
That's a big hit.
No.
I haven't been hit like that in a long time.
Welcome.
You're welcome. Golden Knights hang on for the 3-2 win, their third straight victory. TJ Oshie had both for the Caps, so make it five straight goalless games for Ovi. We wrap up in the desert with the Coyotes at home to the Islanders.
Draw one by Dvorak to the left point to Chychrun. Gives it to Hall. Quick shot. Doesn't make it to the net. Rebound in front. They score! Connor Garland! That's goal number 20 for Garland.
2-1 Arizona, the final. The Islanders have lost three straight games. The NHL trade deadline is next Monday, but a couple of teams got a head start on it last night. The LA Kings sending forward Tyler Toffoli to the Vancouver Canucks for forward Tim Schaller, a prospect and a pick. Toffoli, one of the juiciest bits of trade bait at the deadline, has 18 goals in 56 games. NHL insider Elliot Friedman says the move sends Canucks fans a clear message.
There's no question about it that the Canucks were worried about a lack of scoring on their top two lines, with Besser getting hurt and going down. But there were a lot of rumblings that this was going to be a go-for-it year for Vancouver anyway. They have some very difficult salary cap decisions to make next season. And I think for that reason, I think they looked at it like, we like our depth, we like our team, we're going to go for it this year.
Well, Montreal Canadiens are in Detroit tonight, really needing a win to keep their wafer slim playoff hopes alive. Now, surprisingly, the Habs may have Captain Shea Weber back in the lineup. Weber made a surprise appearance at practice yesterday. A surprise because many reports suggested that Weber would be out for a long time with an ankle injury. Not so, my friends. Not so.
Might be a long shot, but there's still belief in here, and I want to be a part of that. I don't want to sit back and watch.
I'm not going to tell you he doesn't feel any pain, but like I said, he's a pretty special athlete. He plays through a lot. Medically, they don't seem to think that if he's capable of handling that, there should be no issues of him playing.
The Habs have any hope of making the playoffs, and it's a very slim hope right now. They're going to need Shea Weber. One other NHL note. The Buffalo Sabres have suspended forward Zach Bogosian for not reporting to their AHL affiliate in Rochester. Bogosian's options are limited, and he now risks losing out on what's left of the $6 million he's owed in the final year of his contract. All right, let's head outside to the Diamond. Spring training, sunshine, palm trees, and anger. Anger at the Houston Astros that just won't go away. A couple of days ago, when asked if the Astros should hand back their 2017 World Series trophy because of the sign-stealing cheating scandal, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred called the trophy just a piece of metal. Well, that did not sit at all well with the Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner, who was on the team that lost to Houston in 2017.
For him to devalue it the way he did yesterday is just tells me how out of touch he is with the players in this game. And, you know, at this point, the only thing devaluing that trophy is that it says commissioner on it.
Ouch. Turner went on to say the Astros just don't deserve it.
It's something that you have to earn. And obviously, you know, as the report showed, as all these guys from their club over there are coming back and apologizing and, you know, trying to make amends for it, it's pretty evident to me that it wasn't earned.
So just how bad is this cheating scandal? Well, bad enough that the Angels' Mike Trout even complained about it yesterday. Yeah, that Mike Trout, basically the nicest guy in the league.
They cheated, and, you know, just I don't agree with the punishments. You know, the player's not, you know, getting anything. You know, there was a player-driven, you know, thing. You know, it sucks, too, because, you know, like you said, a guy's career has been affected. A lot of people, you know, lost jobs. It was tough. You know, it would be me going up to the plate knowing what's coming. It would be pretty fun up there.
Yeah, that's something that former Blue Jays pitcher Marcus Stroman agrees with, tweeting yesterday. Mike Trout would be hitting 750 to 999 with 150 to 300 home runs if he knew what was coming. Yeah, he probably would. Not everybody is banging on the Astros, no pun intended. Red Sox outfielder J.D. Martinez says it's time to move on.
It's like we have to move past it at some point. You know, we just can't continue to talk about it. I know it's fresh right now. People want to talk about it, this and that, but it's 2020. I think teams are very aware everything that's kind of happened. I think pitchers now are, if you think about it, no one's going to go out there and run the same set of signs. Everyone's going to be very careful.
By the way, the MLB is also investigating the Red Sox. Astros shortstop Carlos Correa says, he's tired of discussing the cheating scandal.
Honestly, guys, I'm done talking about the offseason and what happened in previous year. It's the 17th. That means full squad reports today. So, you know, for me, it's time to talk about this new upcoming season.
Sure, Carlos. Sure. But you know what? He was right about one thing. Full workouts did begin yesterday, and that included the Toronto Blue Jays. Manager Carlos Montoya saying his message to his team on day one was simple.
My main message was how excited we are for this year's team, and that was about it, actually. You know, we're going to have a bigger talk whenever we have our 26 guys, but today everything was quick. Tell them about the schedule and everything else. But
who spoke?
Everybody did. Everybody did. Dave Hodgins was going over the schedule and stuff. All I said, how excited we are about this year's team, which we are.
Yeah, lots to be excited about. Second baseman Kevin Biggio says he's stoked to be working behind a bona fide ace in Hyunjin Ryu.
Once we sign a pitcher of that caliber, it's really exciting to see the confidence that the front office has in this young team that we have. I think we pushed the envelope a little bit with having some success at the end of the year and forcing them to, you know, to pay that much money to an ace like that. So I think it's encouraging and it's exciting. And you know, not only like Bo said, but I think everyone else in the locker room is excited to compete this year.
I can't wait. Blue Jays' first spring training game is this Saturday against the New York Yankees. Coming up, a fiery finish to the Daytona 500. Stephen A. Smith says the 76ers need to switch it up. Mike Tomlin defends his quarterback. No, not that one, the other one. And what's the over-under for Astros batters getting beamed this year? All that straight ahead on the Scoreboard. Daytona International Speedway is one of NASCAR's so-called super speedways. It's a 2.5-mile tri-oval on which cars can get up to speeds of over 200 miles per hour, following bumper to bumper just a couple of inches apart. At a race like the Daytona 500, fans are always expecting the big one, a massive crash involving a dozen or more cars. Well, the big one came yesterday on the final lap.
Ryan Newman off turn four for the final time. Blaney to the outside, to the inside. Here comes Hamlin up the outside.
Wow.
Crash into the wall, into the air goes Newman.
Upside down.
In a shower of sparks on his roof.
You have to see this crash. It was absolutely horrific. Cameras zoomed into Newman's car. Fuel could be seen pouring out dangerously close to open flames. Newman, who won this race in 2008, was transported to hospital. A NASCAR spokesperson provided an update overnight.
We've been in continual dialogue with the race team and Ryan's family. And on behalf of Roush Racing, they've asked us to read a statement to give you an update. And the statement reads as follows. Ryan Newman is being treated at Halifax Medical Center. He's in serious condition, but doctors have indicated his injuries are non-life-threatening.
Non-life-threatening injuries. Good news there for sure. As for the race itself, Denny Hamlin beat Ryan Blaney to the finish line by just a couple of inches, making it the second closest Daytona 500 finish in history. A margin of victory of just 0.014 seconds. Hamlin beat Martin Truex to the line by 0.010 seconds back in 2016. It was Hamlin's second straight Daytona 500 victory and third in the past 5 years. After the race, Hamlin was putting the win aside.
It's a weird balance of, you know, excitement and happiness for yourself, but obviously someone's health and their family's, you know, bigger than any win in any sport. So, we're just hoping for the best.
Well, a little competition can do wonders, it seems. Ratings for this year's NBA All-Star Game are up 8% over last year. Meantime, as we get ready for the stretch run to the playoffs, ESPN's Stephen A. Smith says the Philadelphia 76ers, whom many picked as a possible Eastern Conference champion, have to make major changes.
If your objective is to actually be in a position where you are going for the chip, now, if you just want to win games and be a respectable, decent team during the regular season and bow out in like the second round, sure, you have no problems. But if your goal is the chip, what you've been doing ain't going to cut it. That's the point.
Sixers are currently fifth in the Eastern Conference, an NBA best 25-2 at home, but absolutely stinky 9-19 on the road. When Cleveland Browns defensive end Myles Garrett was reinstated after his suspension for swinging his helmet at Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph, Garrett continued to insist that the incident was sparked by a racist comment made by Rudolph, something that Rudolph has vehemently denied. Well, yesterday, Steelers coach Mike Tomlin came to his quarterback's defense.
I was on the field immediately after that altercation and subsequently after the game. I got a lot of personal relationships within that organization over there in Cleveland. At no point did anyone within that organization come forward and say, Mike, heads up, we got a situation here or something of that nature that you would expect that comes with those type of allegations. There's been a lot of negativity around Mason Rudolph. He got fined $50,000 for essentially getting beat up. His reputation has been tarnished because of the allegations, none of which was founded.
Hey, you want some XFL news? Sure you do. Just 2 weeks in, the opinion on the new league is that maybe, just maybe, this thing is a chance to work. Well, apparently the XFL went after former NFL quarterback and current Mets prospect Tim Tebow, who not surprisingly was gracious when he declined the offer.
We had a couple conversations, but it was pretty clear that this was, I love what they're doing. I think it has a chance to have success, and I think that's great. And so I think there needs to be a place for a lot of players that are really good and should and could be playing in the NFL and are better than a lot of NFL players. So, and there's a chance they're going to be seen. So I think it's awesome, and I think it's good for a lot of guys that are going to get a spot in the NFL roster because they're going to show a team that they're worth it. But for me, this is what I wanted to do.
On the station today, leadoff with Ashley, Ziggy, and Scotty Mack as the newly promoted Braves president, Alex Anthopoulos, on at 7. Good show. Former NHLer Paul Bissonnette at 10:25. And on writer's block this afternoon, former Blue Jays manager John Gibbons joins at 3 o'clock. And there is a part of me, a small part, really, really small, tiny part, that kind of feels sorry for the Houston Astros. It was their first full day of workouts yesterday, and they had to deal with this. That's a fan banging on a trash can right in behind the fence, very close to the batters. Get used to it, Astros. Oh, by the way, in case you're wondering, the over-under for the number of times Astros players get hit by a pitch this season is 83.5. Definitely hammer the over in that one. By the way, Houston is also 8-1 to win the World Series, behind only the Yankees at 5-1 and the Dodgers at 6-1. Thank you so much for listening to The Scoreboard with Hugh Burrell. If you missed any part or you want to listen in on your way into work, just download us anywhere you find your favorite podcast. Lead off with Ashley, Ziggy, and Scotty Mack starts now.